Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you here, coming out in the rain. Thank you for joining us for our hymn sing time. I feel like I'm just a little too close to the piano here. All right, who has the first request? Do I have a request? Okay. 496, I heard. Did I get that right, Mary? Okay. 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And 1 and 3, verses 1 and 3 of number 496. Thank you, Lorraine. That was one of my grandfather's favorite hymns. I remember singing that as a child in my German background congregational church in Laurel, Montana. So thank you for those memories. All right, we have another request, please. Yes, Anita. Alita, why do I change your name some days? Okay, I heard 370. Victory in Jesus verses 1 and 3, number 370, Victory in Jesus verses 1 and 3.
Like me, I heard about his grace.
Thank you. Another one, please. I see people looking. Deb.
89.
Okay, number 89. Number 89, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And how about verses 1 and 2? 1 and 2, okay? All right, 89. I see a hand, so we're going to do one more. Go ahead, Trudy. 377. It is well with my soul. 377, verses 1 and 4, okay?
Sure.
1 and 4 of 377. Thank you for joining our hymn sing this morning. We will continue with our worship. Thank you. Thank you so much, Diane. Beautiful, as always. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. Good to see you here, braving our inclement weather for Southern California, right? Just a little rain, not like the other parts of the central states are dealing with the snowy cold. So welcome, everyone. Just a reminder that after service, of course, please join us across the way for fellowship and coffee. We'd love to see you over there. Special welcome to our visitors and guests today. We do have some announcements. Of course, please remember to sign the red pad that's in a little booklet there on your pew. You can include information there if you'd like to be contacted. We also have quite a few announcements today. Our financial statements are available in the back. You probably saw them in a little basket right at the table as you came in. So please make sure you look at the name closely and make sure you get your statement. We have some January birthdays. We're halfway into the month here or so, a little more. But again, please make sure and wish these folks a wonderful birthday. If you see them, we have Lorreen here, and Anne isn't here, but wish her a happy birthday as well. And I think that's it for who's here today, but happy birthday, everyone. We also have new directories coming. So make sure the office has the correct information, please. And there are little half slips on the table by the offering plate and the letters. And of course, I think there might be some back in the fellowship hall too. There was one there last week anyway. And the January newsletter is available in the narthex. Please contact the office if you would prefer to get it by email so we can save on printing costs. And our free Saturday movies. February 3rd is our next one coming up at 11 a.m. The movie this time is The Miracle Club, about three women from Ireland, and they dream about winning a pilgrimage to the French town of Lourdes. And that's going to be shown in Faith Theater 2 on February 3rd. And then the next one is March 2nd, and this is the movie Ever After with Drew Barrymore, a Cinderella story, and it's a very cute movie. I've seen this one several times, so it's a good one. And again, that's March 2nd. And coming up in February, Pastor's wonderful, delicious luncheon full of great food and fellowship, and will be at Legend 8 in Cala Mesa. Again, it's the 14th at noon for $15. Please make sure you sign up or call the church office to let them know that you will be there. And you may have seen some boxes of cereal in the back as you came in. We are the cereal church. Over the years, we've donated who knows how many boxes of cereal to the ICSC. So please continue to bring those as you can, and just put them on the pews out in the entrance there. And if you are like me and always forget to buy cereal, you can always get a script card here and just donate that script card to the ICSC as well. And a couple more announcements. Of course, Stephen Mickle is still looking for those gently used clothes for the inmates that are being released. And there's a list there that you can see of what types of things he's looking for. Just bring him into the narthex. And Hearts Grow is on the second and fourth Sundays, and it's in the children's church room. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages. And I have one more announcement, a reminder about Parents' Night Out this Friday, January 26th. It's from 6 to 8:30. There's going to be blanket fort fun. So I'm guessing there's people out there that can remember building a blanket fort castles in their living room or dining room as kids, and it sounds like that's the fun that Deb has in store, hearing the story of Joshua. So please, if you know of families that would love to have a parents' night out, please give them this information. It's on the website, and there are some flyers in the back as well. Okay, I think that's all of the announcements. Yes, so if you would please stand as you are able and join in our call to worship. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may meet you in worship. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see your presence with us. Open our ears, Lord, that we may hear your love for us. Open our mouth, Lord, that we may praise your great deeds for us. And now please join in singing our first hymn, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. It is printed on an insert in your bulletin, and we'll do verses 1-3. Before you are seated, please take a minute to pass the peace with your neighbors. Peace be with all of you.
Peace be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you, Katie.
Good morning.
Good morning to you all who are worshiping in here, and also to Helen. Hi, Helen. So good to see you as usual. And welcome, June and Joyce. And Judy is worshiping at home today. And also, good morning to April and Bill. We have Pastor Dina on Zoom, and we have Alicia, and one on iPad, and Davis in here, gotta be a Barbara. And who else? I think that's all we have. Welcome all.
And it's time for a sharing of joys and concerns, and Deb has a mic. And while you're getting ready to raise your hand and share, I'd just like to share a quick joy. My brother and his wife and their dog, Artie, have escaped the freezing cold of Bozeman, Montana, and drove down to be in Mesquite, Nevada, near my mom for a month or two. So I'm very thankful for their safe travels out of the cold and that my mom now has some company. So thank you.
I'd like to start out by asking for prayer for my neighbor Leonard and his wife Linda. Leonard was taken by ambulance in, and he's having surgery tomorrow on a large cyst that's in his pancreas. So he's in critical condition right now. So please pray for Leonard and his wife Linda.
Oh yeah, and I have a neighbor too. Her name is Sandy, and I was praying for her because I thought she was working overtime, so that's a good problem, but she was in a hospital instead, so she's back. So doctors are trying to figure out what's wrong with her. And then also Larry, the guy at jail that wants the church to pray for him. And then Ann, she's been having some migraines. So yeah, pray for her. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to start calling this the never-ending story. Lorene's eye surgery was originally scheduled for tomorrow, the 22nd. Well, I've detailed before all the troubles getting the paperwork and all that. So it was postponed until the 29th, the week from tomorrow. The people at UCLA this past week managed, I don't know if it was just in California, but for the entire nation, get hold of the top people at Optum. And guess what? We got our paperwork. It's good to have God in your corner. So we were all set. We're going to go on the 29th and all that. Then we got a call from UCLA that because of the icy conditions back in New York where the radiation pellets are produced, they can't get their supplies and they can't get their pellets out. So they've rescheduled her for February the 5th, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're okay with that. But they're not really sure if it's gonna happen then, because that was just an estimate. The one problem we're having now is that because her surgery has been scheduled for 2 weeks from now, she's going to have to retake some of her testing because it will be more than 30 days before the surgery. So it's put one foot forward and half a step back. But things seem to be working out. Thank you.
Keep on praying. Yep. Absolutely.
I just want to introduce my friend Janet. She's visiting this morning and came with me to church. So glad to see that.
And Janet, believe it or not, she is younger than I am. 28 years old.
Welcome,
she told me that. Yes.
Welcome.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
With my recent little short adventure in the hospital, my roommate there, his name is Jefferson, like the president's, his first name, is in horrible shape. Multiple serious medical, you know, problems. I don't even know if he's going to make it, but I really felt for that man. So if you could keep Jefferson in your prayers, that would be wonderful.
And praise the Lord, Kenny is back.
Yes.
He got discharged very quickly from the hospital.
Pastor Strong.
Good morning. My name's Pat Shores. I have a joy. This past weekend, I got to go with my sister Allison down to see the babies. Every time we see them, they're cuter than they were the time before. And we didn't get to go the week before because Allison was out of town, and I usually go with her, so this was a real treat for me.
And I'd like us to pray for Jean. She's not feeling well today.
And Deb, if you don't mind, let's introduce those two ladies in the back.
Would you like to introduce yourself? I don't know. What's your name? Melinda and Teresa.
This is Teresa and Melinda. So just welcome them, but don't overwhelm them because they're happy here.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, make yourself at home. We believe in the same Bible. We believe in the same God, right?
Right.
Yes. Welcome, welcome.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand and unmute.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. It's now time for our unison prayer, and you will find it printed in your bulletin or also on the screen here. So please join in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, as the disciples became downcast after the crucifixion, we sometimes face discouraging realities. We exert all our strength to make a difference, but our efforts end in vain. We feel like a tiny boat in the stormy sea of Galilee, being tossed about aimlessly. But your presence protects and guides us. You even go before us and prepare a table for our comfort and rest. Grant us faith to hold on to you at all costs, for you are in our Galilees. For your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, lifting up our unspoken prayers, lifting up our prayers for those loved ones that God has placed in our life circle, and those who needs God's healing touch, wherever they are. Let us continue. Lord Jesus, your knowledge of us is so perfect. You know exactly who we are. You know accurately where our path lies. You know where we are going. You know our past, our present, and our future. And because of your perfect knowledge of us, you even prepare our path before we get there. So, Lord, we acknowledge your omniscience, the perfect knowledge about all of us, and your power. You are all powerful. You can do anything in the world, and there's nothing that you cannot do. And you are everywhere, everywhere of our life. So, Lord, we acknowledge your power and your presence in our life, and we praise you for what you do for us. Your protection, your guidance, your provision, your love, your grace, your forgiveness, in spite of our shortcomings. We come to you believing in your loving care. You have invited us to come. Come, all ye heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. So we have come to your presence, believing that as we lift up our prayers unto you, you listen to our prayers. As we trust in your power and give the burdens of life into your hand, you gladly take them from us and carry them on our behalf. So, Lord, may we experience this joy we have found in you once more as we worship you this morning. May we receive the assurance of your power and love once more, that we may receive courage and strength to face all the harsh realities that we cannot handle on our own. So we give them our burdens into your hand, O Lord. We lift up our prayers, spoken and unspoken. You know exactly where we are in life. You know exactly what we need. So, Lord, we ask you to listen to our prayers and continue to lead us on, that we may be a blessing to you, your church, and your people, knowing that you have sent us to this earth with specific purpose in life, knowing that you have been using us to fulfill your will. We recommit ourselves to your service once more. And now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's now time for a Young at Heart's moment.
Today's story is If You Plant a Seed. Words and Paintings by Kadir Nelson. If you plant a tomato seed, a carrot seed, and a cabbage seed, in time, with love and care, tomato, carrot, and cabbage plants will grow. If you plant a seed of selfishness, in a very short time, it will grow and grow and grow. Into a heap of trouble. But if you plant a seed of kindness, in almost no time at all, the fruits of kindness will grow and grow and grow. And they are very, very sweet. The end. May we always be very generous in sharing what God has given to us. We are stewards of the resources that He has entrusted us. So may we be generous, loving, and giving without.
Thank you, Deb. If you would now please join in singing our hymn number 314, In the Garden, and we'll sing verses 1 through 3. Scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. This is Peter's denial foretold. Starting with verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you all today. It's a bit rainy, but we need rain during the winter time. And compared to the rest of the world in the United States, California is a wonderful place. You know, we are still very, very warm. And we feel sorry for those who are dealing with all that Arctic winter weather. But pray that God will protect them and keep them safe. My prayer for all of you is that we will meet God as we worship together and hear the voice of God, that God has speaking through us, through the scripture, that we may all hear the word that we needed to hear. At the end of the school year, a kindergarten teacher received gifts from her children. First, the florist's son handed her a beautifully wrapped gift. The teacher held the gift above her head, shook it, and said, "I think it's flowers. Am I right?" "Yes," said the boy. Her second gift was from the daughter of a sweet shop owner. The teacher held the beautifully wrapped gift above her head, shook it, and said, "I think it's a box of sweets. Am I right?" "Yes," said the girl. The teacher's third gift was from a boy whose father ran the local liquor store. Once again, it was beautifully wrapped. The teacher held it above her head and shook it. But as she did so, it started to leak. She touched a drop of the leakage with a finger and put it on her tongue. "I think it's wine. Am I right?" "No," said the boy. So the teacher tasted another drop of the leakage. "Is it champagne?" "No," said the boy. The teacher tasted another drop, but unable to recognize it, conceded defeat. "Okay, I give up. What is it?" The boy said, "It's a puppy." Isn't it true that even by employing all our senses, we sometimes have difficulty figuring out things that are in our arm's reach? Our knowledge has a limit. On the other hand, God's knowledge of us has no limit. This morning's gospel lesson teaches us that Jesus knows everything about us, therefore can predict where we will be in the future. Jesus goes before us and is present in our troubles when we feel that God is absent. But it is contrary to what the disciples did. They ran from Jesus when Jesus was in trouble. The setting of the gospel lesson was the Garden of Olives, right before Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. In the gospel lesson, Jesus foretold three things about what his disciples and he would do. The first two were that the disciples would run away and Peter would disown Jesus three times. The disciples did run away, and Peter did disown Jesus on that very night. The third one was that Jesus would go to Galilee before the disciples. And we want to think about the third one in detail now. After the crucifixion, the disciples lost meaning in life and became disillusioned and purposeless. The only thing left for them was to return to their hometown to build life again. The Northern Galilee was home to many disciples. They were born and grew up there. They had a support system through their families and friends there. They spoke Galilean accents, and there was no other place like Galilee. They needed to be in their hometown for comfort as they were grieving for the loss of their beloved teacher. What they needed more than anything was to sustain their livelihood. While accompanying Jesus, sustenance was never an issue. Now they were on their own. So they reattached themselves to the Sea of Galilee. They knew the weather pattern of the sea. They knew the sweet spots where the school of fish swam around. And the disciples were very seasoned fishermen. Plus, they were hard workers. So their success potential was very high. They were very confident, accordingly, that their old profession could sustain them. Upon returning to Galilee, they fished not only for a few hours, but all through the night. Did their fishing go as they expected? John 21 says that six disciples and Nathanael were fishing. They caught nothing by the morning. Their time and efforts ended in vain. So think about how they felt right there in the shore of Galilee in that morning. The morning in Galilee after the failed fishing portrayed very powerfully a moment and a place of bitter disappointment. The disciples were already discouraged and disheartened before they returned to the Sea of Galilee. But no productivity after hours of repeated throwing and pulling their net made them physically drained and their spirit more depressed. The good news was that the story did not end there. Jesus met them at the very moments and time of discouragement. Jesus told them to throw their net on the right. When they cast it, they caught so many fish that they could not hold their net. Jesus even prepared breakfast for them on the shore. Galilee, to the disciples, was a place of disappointment, but Jesus transformed it into a place of renewed hope. The disciples felt the absence of Jesus through the night in Galilee. But Jesus knew their struggles and met them in the morning. So let us go back to the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus foretold the disciples that he would go to Galilee before the disciples did. In Matthew 28, the resurrected Jesus told the ladies at the tomb on Easter morning that he was going to Galilee before the disciples. He told them again. Why did Jesus say that he would go to Galilee before the disciples? Because Jesus knew the disciples so well. Jesus knew how much they would become discouraged after the crucifixion. Jesus knew their personalities and tendencies. He knew what kind of decision they would make. He knew that they would return to Galilee and resume their old fishing business. There was more. Jesus was familiar with the Sea of Galilee also. He lived in the Galilean town of Capernaum and did ministries centered around the Sea of Galilee. So considering all those, Jesus accurately knew beforehand that the disciples would return to Galilee. Jesus could picture what the disciples would face after his crucifixion. It was why he said he would go to Galilee before them and meet them there. So apply this to our personal situations, our personal lives. Jesus knows us and is very familiar with our Galilees, that is, our ways and our surrounding, where we try to build our life but experience frustrations and failures. That's where we experience in our Galilees, the same way the disciples experience in their Galilee. In our Galilees, we exert all our efforts, but our labors do not always come to fruition. As a result, we feel the absence of God in our Galilees. However, Jesus knows our path and goes before us and meets us in our Galilees, where we feel so discouraged and feel like that God does not care for us anymore. You know, I often shared with you that, you know, God places messages in my heart for you and for me, and I've got a confirmation that this message is something that God wanted me to share with you. And I'll tell you the reason. Gary, last Sunday, gave me this book to read, The Reader's Digest, from January 22. And the place that he wanted to share was the story that fits exactly the message that I was working on. Isn't that amazing? And I mean, to me, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, and that's a confirmation that I received from God that this is something that God had planned for all of us this morning. And let me share that story with you. And it's an excerpt from the Strangers in the Lifeboat, written by Mitch Albom. It's a lot longer, and I have cut and pasted to shorten it, but basically I'm sharing the shortened form of that, the same story. And let me read that. It's been 3 days since the galaxy sank. No one has come looking for us. We are short on food and water. Sharks have been spotted. Many of us are losing hope for survival. Then in the morning, we pulled the young stranger from the sea. He wore no life jacket, nor was he holding on to anything when we spotted him bobbing in the waves. After we introduced ourselves, we waited for the stranger to respond, but he just looked at us. Nina touched his shoulder and said, "Well, thank the Lord we found you," which is when the man spoke, "I am the Lord." "Oh, you got a first name, Lord?" Yanis asked. "I have many names." "What is your real story, mister?" Lambert said. "I am here," the man replied. "Why are you here?" Nina asked. "Haven't you been calling me?" We glanced at one another. It is true. most of us at some point have cried out for divine intervention. Please, Lord, help me, God. Is that what this new man meant? Haven't you been calling me? Still, I never considered what I would do if I call for the Lord and He actually appeared before me. Nina spun toward the man. Are you some kind of a messenger? Are you going to save us? I can only do that, he replied. When all of you believe I am who I say I am. No one moved. You could hear the smack of the sea against the boat's sides. Finally, Jerry, who is too practical, said, well, you let us know when that happens. Until then, we better adjust how we ration the food. Even though the story is fiction, it describes very well how we would react to God's presence in our Galilees. You know, I mean, we ask for God's help. We ask God to intervene. And then when God shows up, it's like, is this real? In our Galilees, our discouragement causes us to feel like God is absent. We walk on the dark path of our choosing. We are the one who fail God, but God doesn't. In our Galilees, we face frustrations and failures like the disciples underwent. Their areas of confidence and competence are shattered against our wishes, and sustaining livelihood becomes a real challenge. And when we feel Jesus failing us, that's only our feeling. In reality, Jesus never fails. He is present in our Galilees. He has the power to transform our Galilees and prepare a table for us to celebrate life right in our Galilees. Amen.
Just a reminder and a thank you to please continue giving your tithes and offerings to the church. You can leave them in the offering plate at the back as you leave, or some of you already did that as you came in, or you can drop them off or mail them to the church office. So thank you for that. And we will now continue with our offertory.
Thank you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leads. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord, as we give you this gift of thanksgiving, we recognize your presence in our lives. Even when we struggle to see you, you are surely there. You are right next to us. You are right above us. You are right behind us. You surround us with the power of your love. And by your presence, O Lord, you have blessed our lives and you have led us this far. So we recognize all the blessings we have received from you, and we praise you with this thanksgiving. Ask you to receive it, bless it, that we, through the ministries, may build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join in our closing hymn, number 128, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, the world with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. He's faithful from where I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, I water still over troubles fail, still tis his hand and leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. He's faithful for no I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I say, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Please remember Austin and Edna and their families in your prayers. Austin's sister's husband, we've been praying for, passed on. And Austin and Edna went up there to be with the family. So pray for God's comfort and peace upon them. Let us pray. Lord, as we are about to leave this place of worship, we know that your presence goes with us, even goes before us, that you continue to hold our hand and lead us along this life journey. So thank you for your presence in our lives, and may we go with the assurance of your presence even during the time of trouble, that we may continue to rejoice, believing and knowing that you are with us. Send us forth, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and sure you believe. Reach out.